The rioting and the killing last week, touched off by the assassination of India's Prime Minister Indira Gandhi by two of her guards, began here at the Golden Temple, the holiest place of all to the Sikh religion. It's in the Punjab, the only state in India where the Sikhs are almost a majority. When we visited there last May, we concluded that even though Sikh militants were using the temple as a sanctuary, the Indian government would not risk violating the holy place. We also concluded that if Indira Gandhi did send troops into the temple, there would be bloody consequences. We were wrong in the first conclusion. 3 weeks after we were there, the Indian army moved in, killing more than 500 Sikhs, including some of the militants we had talked to. We were right in the second conclusion. Blood has been shed and is flowing, including the blood, last week, of the Prime Minister who made the decision to take the temple. This is it, the Golden Temple of the Sikhs, their Vatican, their Mecca. This is where the army moved in and killed hundreds of Sikhs, including their most militant leader. In the sacred pool of nectar, the Sikhs we saw came to bathe as Muslims going to Mecca to achieve merit. Sikhism is newer than Islam or Hinduism or Christianity. A guru began it less than 500 years ago. He and the gurus that followed him wrote the holy book and made the rules. Today there are no gurus. The Sikhs don't have castes or complicated dietary laws or sacred cows or idols. In India, they have been known as warriors and businessmen and technicians, but they were not satisfied. The temple is in the city of Amritsar in the Punjab, a state lying in the north of India near the Pakistan border. It looks like the rest of the Punjab. It is prosperous, and it is the Sikh stronghold. The Sikhs feel they have not gotten a fair share of Punjab progress, and they kept asking the government to do something about it. They are only 15 million out of India's 700 million, so nothing happened. Because they were dissatisfied, the militants among them turned the Golden Temple into a sanctuary of armed rebellion. When we were there in May, there were few signs of the coming explosion, a few visible soldiers in desultory checkpoints. But the thousands of the faithful still came to the temple, and anyone willing to put on a hat, take off his shoes and socks, and leave his cigarettes outside, anyone could go in, as we did. Inside, we saw the guerrillas, the rebels. You could tell them from the pilgrim visitors because they were armed, heavily armed. They were the residents of the sanctuary, hundreds of them. They couldn't leave openly because they were all wanted men, but they could and did slip out and back in to commit assassinations and arson and other violence. They were alert and armed, but we got the feeling they were sure they were safe. Breaking into the temple would be like the Italian army raiding St. Peter's to arrest a dissident cardinal. We were all wrong. Where did the arms come from? Perhaps from Pakistan, some by barter. Indian whiskey for the illegal drinkers of Pakistan in exchange for guns and ammunition.
This is the religious heart of a temple inhabited by men with guns. But while the militants are a minority, the Golden Temple is sacred to all Sikhs. And if government should move against the temple by force, most Sikhs would become militants.
That was the fear that kept the Indian government indecisive until June. But this man always knew he was in danger. He was right. He died early in the fight. He had been in the temple for 2 years, under security within security. But he was always accessible to his followers. The nearest thing the Sikh rebellion had to an Ayatollah Khomeini. Jarnail Singh Bhindranwale, 38 when he was killed. If he had been an American pastor, he would have been a fundamentalist.
He hated the successful urban Sikhs who trim their beards and wear two-piece suits. The poor and the illiterate loved him, brought him what rupees they could spare. He spoke openly of the deaths and violence his followers had caused. These were not murders, he said, but justice. And if necessary, the Sikhs would set up their own state and, the government feared, start the disintegration of India as a federal nation. We found him at a midday audience. You want to talk, he said, sit down and we'll talk. The camera and I had become part of the show.
If I were to tell Americans very briefly what you want, what should I say? What do you want? We want, said the priest, to bring an end to the slavery which has been put around the necks of the Sikhs. Some people, even some Sikhs, say that this is not a religious movement, but a political movement. Is that partly true?
ਕਈ ਲੋਕ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਨੇ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਇਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਲਹਿ ਰਿਹਾ ਸੰਘਰਸ਼ ਆ ਇਹ ਧਾਰਮਿਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਾਜਨੀਤਿਕ ਆ ਕੀ ਇਹ ਠੀਕ ਆ
ਮੈਂ ਝੂਠ ਆ
ਸਕਿੰਦ ਰਨਵਾਲੇ ਸੈਡ ਦੈਟ ਆਬਜ਼ਰਵੇਸ਼ਨ ਵਾਸ ਟੋਟਲੀ ਰੋਂਗ ਫॉर ਅ ਪੈਰਾਡੌਕਸਿਕਲ ਰੀਜ਼ਨ ਇਨ ਸਿਕਿਜ਼ਮ ਹੀ ਸੈਡ ਰਿਲੀਜੀਅਨ ਐਂਡ ਪੋਲਿਟਿਕਸ ਆਰ ਇਨਸੈਪਰੇਬਲ ਫਰਮ ਈਚ ਅਦਰ
ਡੂ ਯੂ ਸੀ ਐਨੀ ਕੰਪੈਰੀਸਨ ਐਟ ਆਲ ਬੀਟਵੀਨ ਯੂਰਸੈਲਫ ਐਂਡ ਹੋਮੇਨੀ
ਅੰਦਰ ਜੀ ਅਮਰੀਕਾ ਦੇ ਲੋਕ ਸੋਚਦੇ ਨੇ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਨਵੇਂ ਖਮੇਨੀ ਬਣਾਉਂਗੇ
He either misunderstood or hedged. He couldn't be a Khomeini, he said, because he is a Sikh and a servant of the Sikhs. And in Sikhism, he said, nothing is irrational. A Sikh is never an oppressor, but only defends himself and his people. I have never, he said, initiated any attack with my tongue or my pen or with my sword. I only answer back or retaliate, he said, to actions initiated by the enemies of the Sikhs. Not all the Sikhs we saw were militants. A more moderate group chose the old Gandhi method of nonviolence. By the hundreds, they turned themselves into the police to plead guilty to real or imagined offenses, to clog the jails and clog the already clogged Indian bureaucracy. Typically, the police turned them loose in a few days. But they were at least willing to negotiate. And there were some signs the government might be moving in that direction. These non-violent protesters were led by another Sikh priest who didn't have much use for Bind Ranwale. He is the president of the Sikh political party. He lived 100 yards across the Nectar Pool from Bind Ranwale. He is Harchan Singh Langawal. He was wanted on relatively minor charges. When the government moved in, he surrendered, perhaps by prearrangement.
What would happen if the central government broke into the Golden Temple and took some people that they wanted? What would happen?
Even though he was a moderate, Longowal shared one sentiment with every Sikh we talked to. Armed entry into the temple by government troops would make everything worse. Harminder Singh Sandhu was one of the militants the Indian Army was looking for when the troops broke into the temple. He was one of the principal lieutenants of the extremist leader, Bind Ranwale. We've been told that he survived the attack and is now a prisoner of the Indian Army. Whether or not he gave up voluntarily, we don't know. But when we talked to him, he didn't sound like a man who would give up easily.
Do you think you will ever get out of here without using a gun?
It will depend upon the behavior of the Indian government. We don't want bloodshed and violence. We want to settle the issues in a peaceful way, but the government doesn't want it. Certainly, this is a struggle for sovereignty of the Sikhs. Sikhs want to keep their culture, their identity secure. And if the government doesn't accept it, certainly the Sikhs will have to take up arms. And this will not be a smaller war. Mrs. Gandhi and the Indian government, they will have to suffer too much for that.
After the Indian Army took over the Golden Temple, Mrs. Gandhi did not appear to have suffered. She visited the temple a few weeks later and kissed the holy ground. The army eventually left the temple and returned it to the holy man. But militant Sikhs demonstrated against her and carried signs which foretold the tragic event of this week. Before the invasion of the temple, most of India's Sikhs were decidedly not militant. They were the backbone of much of India's agricultural technology and other professions, and wanted no part of an independent Sikh state. 3 weeks before the temple invasion, we spoke with three of them in Delhi.
Have most Sikhs given up the idea of what I believe is called Khalistan, a great Sikh political state?
That's
the biggest joke of the evening. Because if you ask me, I can name maybe three people who are protagonists of Khalistan. I saw a beautiful cartoon in one of the Indian papers. There's President Reagan looking at an atlas and asking one of his aides, he said, I've heard of Palestine, but where is this Khalistan? And an aide behind him said, Mr. President, I don't know myself, but Gene says its foreign policy is pro-US. So, there's your answer.
It is not a burning issue among Sikhs.
Of course not.
It is a non-issue.
I do not, as a Sikh, I do not want to be citizen of a banana republic. I'm citizen of a great country which is heir to a great civilization. In fact, the only civilization from ancient times which still exists today. We are going through an unhappy time, an unfortunate time at the moment. We're going to come out on top. I, as an Indian, feel that inside here.
I like that phrase, as an Indian.
Of course.
Are you Indian before you're Sikh?
Of course I am.
Of course we are.
I'm speaking in nationality, not yes. religion.
Of course I'm an sure. Indian. First.
Indian first before a Sikh.
I'm an Indian first, I'm a Punjabi second, I'm a Sikh third. Sikh is my personal belief. Punjab is my region. India is my country, my mother. It's given me birth. He's given me nourishment, given me nurture, given me a pride.
But as a moderate Sikh connected with the Indian establishment, you would strongly disapprove of taking the Golden Temple by force.
It would not be a wise step.
I would answer that it'll have very serious repercussions throughout the country. I think all communities would be against it, not just the Sikhs.
This will really be truly be an explosive situation.
The invasion of the temple did indeed change the attitude of many establishment Sikhs. At least two, the professional soldiers who had sworn fealty not only to India, but to the person of Indira Gandhi. Now some Hindus, Mrs. Gandhi's Hindus, have been killing Sikhs. There are no signs yet of the kind of major trouble and bloodletting India has been used to. But of all the contentious Indian groups, the Sikhs are less than 2%. After the bravery or idiocy or misguided viciousness of a few of their number, whatever you want to call it, about almost of the Sikhs who don't want to kill or be killed any more than the Hindus do, about all they can do is hide and wait.